Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
All right, don't let that pig bunny thing scare you. Really hairy pig bunny thing scare you from giving. I don't know if I saw one of those that I'd just run away and scream, or I'd throw my $2 in and scream. But I pretty much think screaming and running would be. So we don't have any of those scary bunnies around, but we do have the little baskets are right here in the front. Are there any in the back too? No? Okay, they're all here in the front. So sometime today, church, give $2, drop it in here so we can sponsor all the kids that are going to go out to the Easter egg hunt. You don't have to only give $2. You could give $200. Yeah, you could bump that thing up a notch, right? Okay, sweet. Hey, if you could open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. The title of my message today is called Wind in Their Sails. Now, if I could have everything I want, then I would have today a gigantic mast with a huge sail and a really giant fan. And then I'd have that mast tied off so that it wouldn't blow over when I blew wind into it. Like, that was my dream for this message. I've been dreaming about that for a while. But the fan that I was going to use was all busted because of the collapse, and then we couldn't find all the stuff because everything's buried under stuff. So anyway, I didn't get to build my big sail. I'm a little sad about it. So today, you're going to have to step into Josh Tanner's imagination. And you're going to have to imagine that there's a humongous ship. Just dream with me. When you wish upon a star, right? Makes no difference who you are. Your dreams can come true. And so just imagine this giant sail right here and a humongous fan behind it. And whenever I think about or talk about the wind and the sail, you can imagine yourself like on the ship. You could be out there suntanning, you know. People could be waiting on you. I don't know, but just get on the ship. Imagine the sail, right? Okay, everybody with me? The wind in their sails. That's the title of this message. Paul's writing to the Thessalonians here, and he says this. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you. Say strengthen. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you, and that our work had been useless. But now Timothy has returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering. Dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith, it gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. How we thank God for you, because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and all people grow and overflow, just as our love overflows. For you overflows. May he, as a result, make your hearts strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's truth, what it means to us. God, anchor our souls, anchor our lives to the truth of your word. God, I pray that we would be strengthened. We would be encouraged. Our love today would overflow. God, our hearts would just be filled with your spirit and with an encouragement, Lord God, today to build, to love, to have faith today. God, we're just believing you for a mighty shaking and a mighty wind to blow inside of our spirits today. God, to encourage us to do your work and to build your church in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You know, one of the things about Paul is in every letter that he wrote, it was literally to people that he knew or that he knew of and that he cared about. And his one of his number one themes in all of his messages was a message of encouragement. You know that? There's all kinds of great theology and all kinds of things, but they were talking to people that were going through a struggle. They were working hard to accomplish the vision and goal that was in their heart. They're just a group of people that love Jesus and love each other. That's the church. And he felt the need, and in fact, in this particular passage, he goes, I could stand it no longer. It was like building up in him so much, he just couldn't take it anymore. He had to encourage them. He had to write to encourage them, to help them. He needed to check in to make sure they were strong and they were doing okay. He was worried about them, concerned for them. And in every single book, letter that he writes, which we call books, but they're letters, they were notes to them. Man, he has such a gift. He was a master of encouragement. I just want to encourage you to go back. And when you do read, especially all of the epistles, you think of, wow, you know what? This is a real group of people who were struggling or succeeding in some areas. But man, they just needed a boost. And Paul's writing a letter to say, hey, come on, you can do this. You have what it takes. You can fight through whatever discouragement you have, whatever obstacles are in front of you. You can do this. And church, I just want to tell you today, you can do this. You have what it takes. Every single thing you need, listen, is within this church, within the Spirit of God living inside of you. You have everything that you need to succeed in your life in Christ. The obstacles, listen, those are just obstacles. Those are just bumps in the road. Those are just things that God is not only going to use to shape you, but you're going to watch God use those obstacles, those failures, as you respond to him and you keep pushing, you keep seeking, you keep pressing in. Listen, you're going to see God move in those obstacles and turn those into testimonies. Turn those into victories. A place where you've overcome. You have what it takes. And you know what you also have? You have what it takes to be the wind in someone else's sail. Just like Paul was the wind in everybody he met, pretty much, unless you were a joker, a Pharisee or something, right? He was the wind in their sails. He was the master wind blower. Now, I just want you to think about a ship. A sailboat in particular, a boat that is primarily driven by the wind. And you know, when that was the main mode of transportation, they were very serious about picking the right weather pattern so they would travel during windy seasons, right? Because if they get out there 1,000 miles and the wind dies, guess what? They die. Boats without wind in the ocean, you can try to row all you want. Man, unless you're close, you're going to die. You need wind to move sailboats, right? If that's their only motive, they don't have an engine in them, right? It's just a pure sailboat. And just like sailboats, people need encouragement. We're just like those sailboats. Paul knew this. That's why he just littered all of his writings with encouragement after encouragement after encouragement. Because he knew these people were struggling. Real life was happening. He talks about these trials. He says he knows the trials that you are in. Not that we know they're coming. We're in the middle of these. You're in a struggle, not against just only the, not only against the trials, but also there's an enemy, the tempter. He's worried the tempter got in there. Man, I got to get with these people. I got to make sure they got some wind in their sails. I believe there's really three types of people in life. There's those that put wind in people's sails. There's those that take wind from people's sails. And then there's those that don't put and do nothing. They withhold their wind from people's sails. Who are you? Are you someone, and I think we're probably all three at times, right? We probably all, if we're honest with ourselves, participate in all three. There's times when I put wind in people's sails. There's times when, you know, I'm being a knucklehead maybe, and I take wind from people's sails. And there's times when I withhold my encouragement, my support, and I do nothing. And sometimes that's the worst. When you don't know where you stand with someone. And when they have the opportunity, and you know they have the opportunity, and you're like, why not? Why? Why not? And you know what a lot of times it does is it triggers that toxic shame inside of us that says, am I not good enough? What did I do? Right? Man, what did I do? And if I, man, I didn't perform good enough for them to believe in me and encourage me. And then all of a sudden we spiral down in this huge negative spiral. Now, we're responsible for our own actions, right? We're responsible that we allow others, when others fail us, that if we're going to go down that spiral or we're going to say, you know what, yeah, I don't know if I'm okay, but I might be a mess. And I don't know if I'm okay with that person, but God, I'm okay with you because you died for me and I've got to live on that. No matter what anybody else thinks about me, I've got to live and die on the fact that Christ believes in me. Christ died for me. Even when I was a sinner, he died for me. Even when I was against him, he died for me. And so whether anyone else wants to put wind in my sail, and they decide to withhold their wind from my sail, you know what? I got to be okay with me and Jesus no matter what. But the reality is that when we withhold our encouragement and praise and our wind from people, it does give them the opportunity to ask, what's wrong with me? Why don't people believe in me? Oh, yeah, you know those things my parents said about me? My uncle said about me, that one principal said about me, that PE coach said about me, my friend said about me, you're never going to be anything. You're always going to be a failure. Your life is never going to amount to nothing. Then there's an opportunity for the enemy, the accuser, to come in and to speak those lies back into our life. And you're powerful. You're like a powerful hurricane in the kingdom. You're a powerful front wind that can create momentum in other people's lives. You know that when you create momentum in someone else's life, that's kingdom momentum. You're building the kingdom. You not doing it, but you casting vision or inspiring someone, blowing wind in their sail. Man, you're setting them in motion as a perfect disaster. An imperfect, totally redeemed, full of the Holy Spirit believer. You have the potential and the power within you to put motion to other people's lives. I can remember my mentors and the people that blew wind in my sails. I'll never forget their words ever forget their words. They play over in my mind over and over again. They just keep adding value and adding value, helping me remember who I really am and what I'm really trading my life for. What about you? Think about the value that others have been in your life as they put wind in your sail. So I want to encourage you to have the courage to put wind in people's sails, to build their vision. The thing God set out from the beginning of time, he purposed in his mind that he would create you. He would create them. All of the others around us. He set in his mind before the foundation of the world to create each one of us as individuals. And he set a motion and a desire and a destiny for each of us. And it's good. It's not for evil. It's for good. And man, don't you want to be a part of helping see that thing to completion that God destined them for? God destined them for that. You and I get to participate in the ultimate destiny of God. How awesome is that? In the lives of individuals. I'm just going to leverage what Pastor Brad preached last week. And brother, that was an awesome message. You ministered and fed our congregation, and so blessed and so thankful for you. You're an amazing man. Just one moment, right? One moment. Do not waste it. Every moment is a defining moment, right? And Ephesians 5 says, don't waste it. Make the most of every opportunity. And listen, I just want to encourage us that there are opportunities all the time in front of us to put wind in people's sails, to add value to people's lives. You know, you can add value, just any way that you can add value to some other living human being is putting wind in their sail. You're helping set them on a course, a positive course for where their life ought to be. Make the most of every opportunity. Every single one. The second, the worship team, spend hours and hours preparing, right? And while I was helping them work this weekend, and we're scratching, just trying to find a place to practice, guys, is crazy right now. And worship teams work really, really hard. And we should be very thankful for all the time they put in. Man, when they get done, can we look at the things that maybe they did right? Come on. And go, wow, that was great. Thank you. It was so good. Like this morning was really good. In fact, the best I've heard that team play together. They did really, really good. And I was ministered to and blessed. And you know, if I don't say anything, and you don't say anything to them, they sit down and go, I don't know. At least you could say, it kind of sucked. Or you could say, it was awesome. Or this is what I really loved about what you did. Obviously not going to say the things you didn't love about they did. Keep that to yourself. Blow wind in the sail of the thing you do believe in. Man, the critical spirit is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Right? Come on. Ah! We got to get rid of that thing. We got to shake that thing off. Man, find a place where you can add value. Just one little thing. I think of a lot of sports athletes that are just so hypercritical of themselves and shoot 100 baskets and miss one and go, but I missed one. You made 99 in a row. You're a freak. That's a problem. Yes, strive for excellence, but be realistic. Look, we should all strive for excellence. And if we want excellence, we need to be winding people's sails, not the guy that jumps from the top of the mast and puts the knife and the dagger in it and slides down. You're not helping anybody. Right? That's taking wind from people's sails. Right? Sometimes you get around individuals and we're trying to create momentum. We're trying to go somewhere and do something with all of our lives. We all want our lives to matter. Everybody wants their life to matter. Somewhere deep down, you want your life to matter. God made us that way. And man, some people become a vacuum for vision. They become a vacuum for momentum, a vacuum for inspiration. As individuals and collectively, come on. Man, you got to turn your fan around. It's in reverse. Flip that sucker around. Start adding value. Find someone to add value. Parents, add value to your kids' lives. We get really critical as parents. I'm as guilty as anybody. We start nitpicking on stuff. We get afraid of whatever, you know. We just get flat out annoyed because our kids, when they're like between 9 and like 14, 21, right? Somebody says 21. It just depends, right? They can drive us crazy. And a lot of times what happens is the thing in their immaturity that makes them great is the thing that drives us nuts. And then guess what? It's a trick of the enemy. We start being critical of that thing that God destined them to be great, and we start picking on it because it's bothering us and they can't control it yet. And all of a sudden, we have sown seeds of doubt and we've created a vacuum in their life that was so necessary for us as the authority role in their life to be adding value and wind in their sails. We just created the opposite. So parents, I'm challenging you. Authority figures in this room, I'm challenging you. Know that you carry a giant gust of wind in your life. Make the most of your opportunity to add value to your children. Add value to people that you're serving. Young people, this might blow your mind, and please, young people, listen to me.
Listen to me.
Listen. You're different. You are special. You don't need to behave like other people behave, other kids like your age behave. Do you know that your age, you can add value to your parents' vision, your parents' life? How crazy would that be that you get a vision for the difficulties that your parents are going through and you say, look, I care about what you're going through. I want to add value to your life. Tell me that wouldn't be different. Tell me other kids that come over, your friends come over and watch you praise your parents, build your parents up, even though they're not perfect and they might be controlling you and making mistakes. But listen, they're trying to pay bills. They're sometimes fighting because they're trying to work out their own marriage and relationships, right? Because they're real people. And then maybe they lose their job or, you know what, they don't know how to be a parent because nobody taught them, right? And they're just doing the best they can do. And you're being a knucklehead. You know it. Because we all are when we're young. We're all knuckleheads at some time, anytime, right? Man, just think if you could cut through all that stuff and have compassion and see your life through their eyes. What would it be like to parent me? And just say, man, you know what? I care about the vision my parents have. I care about their life. I want to add value to the life. I want to blow wind in their sails. You can do it. You're not too young. Man, can you imagine what it'd be like, parents? You wake up someday and your kid goes, Dad, I just think you're awesome. You're like, what? Me? You're like, you can't be talking about me. Who got up inside your head? You know? After all the years of sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice, you're going to add value to me now? It's an amazing thing when our children begin to give back to us, isn't it? Man, any of you that have felt your kids give back to you, it's like no other wind. I'm telling you, kids, you guys have a powerful wind, a powerful gust of wind inside of who you are to add value to your parents' lives, to put a giant gust of wind in their sail, to send them forward and say, man, even though I wasn't perfect, man, my kid still appreciates me, appreciates the things I did do right, the things I even just tried to do right. They at least appreciate the effort. A forever, right? Maybe it's an F for actual execution, but doggone it, I tried my best, right? Sometimes that's just the reality. Don't underestimate yourself. Don't underestimate yourself. Glenda and Carrie Mortaboy, you guys are awesome wind in people's sails. Could you stand up? I'm serious. There isn't one day that I come into this church on a Sunday that these two don't come and encourage me. Not one day. 4 straight years you've been adding wind into my sails, and I want to thank you for that. It's been awesome. Love you. Do not devalue yourselves. You matter. You matter to this church, and you matter to me. They matter to a lot of people here. Find what you can do and figure out a way to add value and do it. And do it faithfully. Just keep doing it over and over and over. Are you the type of person that puts wind in people's sails? What about on the job site with your cantankerous boss? Or you've got a great boss. Maybe he's really amazing. And he's so good that you feel like you don't want to blow wind in his sails because you think it'll blow his head up. Hey, that's his problem. That's his problem. Doesn't matter how good or bad somebody is. You can add value to their life. You can figure out a way to blow wind in their sails. Are you helping your boss's vision move forward, the owner of your company move forward? Are you blowing wind in that company's sails? Wherever you go as a Christian, wherever you go as a believer, you should be a blessing no matter what kind of day you're having. You should always figure out a way to add value. Come on, right? So how do you be a wind in other people's sails? Some practical things. The simple thing is think of the principle, like I've been saying, over and over, is how can I add value today? How can I add value in this moment? Another practical thing, no matter what you feel, do it anyway. We're talking low risk investment. In fact, I'm telling you, no risk investment. Because guess what? There's a Holy Spirit who is the creator of the universe, the beginning and the end, who dwells inside of people. And even if he's not inside of them yet, he is at work inside of them. And guess what? We can trust that Holy Spirit, that he's going to guide them. Your job isn't to direct and guide everybody. Man, put wind in their sails. Let God do the directing. Let God make all those hard adjustments, right? Put wind in their sails. Just do it. Just put wind in their sails. When you're afraid of what could happen, oh, what if I do this? Or you might have personal fears, like you're like, man, I'm afraid even to say anything because I'm so shy, and what if they think I look stupid or whatever? Who cares about all that stuff? Just add value. Just do it anyway. And don't wait. When you feel the Holy Spirit say something to you, or you somebody's pops in your mind, do it now. If you wait 5 minutes, the chances you're going to do it is like 90% less. It's like statistically proven. It's like 80 or 90% less of a chance you're actually going to follow through with the thing you felt like you should do if you don't do it within the first 5 minutes. So just do it now. Make it happen. text message. Man, we can encourage in all kinds of ways now. We've got serious avenues of communication and multimedia right now, don't we? Facebook it, Twitter it, I don't know, write a letter in the mail. Whoa! Oh my goodness. Email, snail mail. Make it, you know, send a telegram. Morse code. Here's a principle I always teach when I talk to people about praising, and it's don't taint your praise. Don't butt out your praise. Don't put your butt in a praise. You know, we say butt, it just negates everything you just said. You're so great. I think you're fantastic. What you did was so good. Blah, 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 blah. Talk for an hour, but you just subtracted everything you said, and now you're going to say the one thing you're really getting to is that you're a goober or whatever it is. You smell bad. You really need to wear deodorant. You know, you totally annoy me. I can't stand you, whatever it is. But, can you just get the but out of your vocabulary? We need to get the but out of our vocabulary. No, praise them, period. Encourage them, period. Add value, period. If it's something in their life that needs to be corrected and it's damaging your relationship and it's holding you back and it's an obstacle, listen, then confront about that issue. But don't taint your praise. Just give it. It's a gift. Cast your bread upon the waters. Just cast it out there. And it'll come back to you, I promise. It'll be okay. God's really big. He can take care of it. He can handle it, right? So don't hesitate. Do it now, right? And don't taint it. Don't taint your praise. You know, one of the things people need is they need to believe in themselves. And one of the first ways people begin to believe in themselves is when someone else starts to believe in them and tells them. Man, each one of us has this real deep desire to believe in ourselves. Man, I want to believe that I was made for something great, even if it seems small in other people's eyes. But when I get to heaven, God goes, well done, good and faithful servant, man. You took what I gave you, you invested it, you were faithful with it, you did everything I asked you to do, and you're like, that mattered. It's that one rock you throw in the pond, and you don't realize, wow, when I threw that in, the ripple effect could touch so much. And there's story after story and example after example, and I don't have time to give you any. But you know lots of examples of one small effort that literally created a multiplication, an explosion of good fruit. I want to encourage you to begin to believe in yourself, that God made you for something great, that you matter. Even with all the dysfunctions you have and problems, you do matter. And man, I want to encourage you to help other people see that in themselves. They do need you to help them see it. They don't need you to cut them down and wear them down and try to wear them out. You got to ask yourself, whose team are you on when you're doing that? Whose team are you on? When Paul is here talking to the Thessalonians, he's like, man, I want to come in and strengthen you. I want to encourage you. I want to build you up because I know the enemy is trying to tear you down, trying to discourage you, trying to create a vacuum in your ministry and in your life. Whose team do you want to be on? I'm telling you, if we're creating a vacuum in people's life and we're devaluing them, if we're devaluing them as an individual, we are not on the side of the Lord. You might be saved, but you're not operating in the Spirit, not the Spirit of God. So challenge yourself. Ask yourself, Holy Spirit, help me to add value in the kingdom, bring heaven to earth in people's lives, and move them forward. Amen. Worship team, will you guys come? Hebrews 11 says this, faith for what we don't see in, Can somebody give me their Bible real quick? Limitations of technology. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And it goes through, boom, and just lists out all these amazing things that people, all of these people of great faith had done. Thank you very much. Faith is the evidence. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Do you know that God is a kind of God that calls things that be not as though they are in people's lives, in the entire world, right? You and I need to participate in this type of faith in people, in ministries, in churches, in organizations, in ourselves. You know, Thomas was like this. Thomas was an interesting critter. In John 20, I'm just going to read it. In John 20, Jesus comes to Thomas after he appears to the disciples. Oh, there it is. Oh, praise the Lord. I thought I lost my notes. And he says this to Thomas. He says, okay, one of the 12, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came, and they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nails or wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them and place my hand in the nail wounds in his hands. My hands into the wounds in his side." I'll get it. 8 days later, the disciples were together again at this time, and Thomas was with them. So they had seen Jesus. They tell Thomas about it. Thomas doesn't believe him, and he says, "Unless I touch him and see it, I'm not going to believe." The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound of my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me, but blessed are those who believe without seeing me." So many of us have this wait and see mentality about people and about ministries, about organizations, what they're about, what the vision of those organizations are about. We're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, I'm just going to wait and see. And if it really is good enough, whatever standard I have, it's perfect, or whatever level of perfection we feel like it has to take on, then we go, okay, now it's safe enough or good enough or perfect enough, if we're super critical, for me to add my value to it, because I don't want to be associated with something or someone or that isn't at some standard." Follow me? Or we're afraid that we'll be attached to it, associated with it, and somehow we'll be tainted or whatever. You know, I want to encourage you not to be of the wait and see mentality. There's a measure of that, like if you're going to get into an investment or something. But we're not talking about getting into an investment. We're talking about adding value to people's lives, right? You don't need to be in the wait and see mentality like Thomas. Jesus said to Thomas, he rebukes Thomas. He goes, "Look, you believe now because you see me and you're touching me, but blessed are those who believe in me when they're not going to get a chance to do that." You and I need to be people that even though we can't see it yet, we're like God. We have faith to see things that aren't yet as though they were. We see the destiny that God has shaped inside of someone, and we don't wait and see mentality them. We go, "No, listen, I know you need to be encouraged. There's greatness in you, and I'm going to find it, and I'm going to help add value to that, and I'm going to put wind in your sail right now, even though it's not a reality. This is how you do junior high youth ministry. Come on. There's only one way to survive junior hires, and that is to call things that be not as though they are." I'm telling you, I've gotten wedgies and all kinds of ridiculous things from junior hires things that have never happened. I'm telling you. things that should never have happened. Junior hires do things that no human should ever do. God bless them. I love them. Love them. You know what I love about them? Is they're full of potential. And they're right at the beginning. And you and I know this is why Frank loved to do junior high youth ministry, is because they're just right there at that place where they can just be molded and shaped, and you can blow wind in their sails and set course and direction in their life, right? Such a great opportunity. But you can't wait and see. You need to believe now. You need to start believing now and start seeing that value now and casting vision for people now. I want to say this, that one area you should never wait and see, and a lot of people get this way, is in regards to eternity. Is we get this wait and see mentality about whether or not we should, well, I'll just, when I die, I'm just going to wait and see what happens. I kind of just tell you, that's not a good strategy. It's a bad idea. And in some ways it makes sense, because it's like, well, I just don't want to think about it right now because I just want to deal with today. And I understand, I get it. But the wait and see mentality, man, I tell you what. The Bible says if you wait and see, it's too late. If you wait and see what happens after you die, it's too late. Because it says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard, right? And the wages of sin is death. So when we wait and see, it's eternal separation from God forever. I want to encourage you today. I want to let you know that towards the end of the service today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to not wait and see. An opportunity to taste of the gift that is of Christ, of his life, which he purchased that sin and those that death. He purchased it with his blood for you, for me. And I want to give you the opportunity to receive him. The Bible says, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that you will not perish but have everlasting life. Those who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. All you have to do is believe that Jesus did die for your sin and you will be saved. And I tell you what, when you give your heart to Christ, that's some kind of wind in your sails. That's the best and the most value that could ever be added to your life is what Christ did for you. And he can add tremendous value to your life today. You don't have to leave without that. So we're going to stand, church, if you would, and we're going to worship. I want to encourage you to unleash the power of your faith in other people's lives. That you will unleash the power of the faith of your words for other people. You'll unleash the power of your faith in our church, right? You'll unleash the power of your faith in your home. Spouses to spouses, parents to children, children to parents. Release the power of your faith. Unleash the power of your faith in your workplace. Find out a way that you can add value everywhere you're at. Be the wind in someone else's sails, right? Be the wind in someone else's sails. Let's worship. So we've got a solid 20 minutes we can worship and just respond. If there's a way that you want to respond, altars are open. You can come worship up here. Anybody wants to worship in the aisles or down in the front, you're welcome. We encourage you to come forward and worship. But I want you to just think about as you do worship the Lord, that God, how can I make a change in my life? Man, repent right now. Say, God, I want to make a change. I want to become an encouragement everywhere I am, right? I want to be wind in people's sails. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we pray as we just seek you and we worship you as a church, as one body with one voice. God, that you would move in power. God, you would transform our lives. God, we would respond to your word of truth. God, and we would become agents, God, that of encouragement. God, we become forces of wind of encouragement in other people's lives, everywhere, in every context that we meet with people and we run into people, God, we would be building them up in love, in love. God, we worship you. God, let our hearts just sing and just be glad and thankful for what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, church, let's worship.